He's saying, shh, let that baby make all the noise she wants to. We love little kids here. We don't have too many of them anymore. You saw the pictures of our newest one, born just a couple of weeks ago, 3 pounds and 4 ounces. So still in the hospital, but gaining weight, and hopefully we'll be out before too long. I want you to think for a minute about some things. Maybe there was a particular thing in your life that you just really, really looked forward to. Some day was coming. It might have been a special birthday for you. Maybe a wedding. Maybe something, an anniversary. Some event that you knew about in advance. And you really, 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 really look forward to it. We're going to turn tonight in Scripture to a place that you probably aren't going to find too many churches going to this evening. And we always go to Matthew 1, and we always go to Luke 2. And we're going to Luke 2, but we're going to a totally different part of Luke 2 than typically people would do on a night like this. We're going to a part of it that has to do with a fellow named Simeon. Now, Simeon was not there to witness the birth of Christ. He was not even there on the night that Jesus was born. It turns out, really, from Scripture, you can only figure out there are just a handful of people that actually were there. Mary and Joseph, obviously. The shepherds came. Angels came. We have no indication that anybody else at all came to visit Jesus on his birth night. We know the Magi come, but apparently from Scripture, it seems as though they come sometime after that. Simeon met Jesus 33 days after he was born, as his mother brought him to the temple to be dedicated. And Simeon was there. So we'll just read these words from Scripture tonight that have to do with this man and his experience. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law, then he took him in his arms and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of thy people, Israel." Can you imagine the Holy Spirit revealing to you something like this? Something that Simeon looked forward to. It could very well be this was like considered in Simeon's own mind to be the defining point of his whole life. And how long had he known, about this promise that God had made to him? Could have been just a few days. It could have been years. But we know it was remarkable for him. And we see that in his expression. When you think about him and they bring the baby Jesus to him, and there's just great joy in his heart and in his life. He feels a great sense of fulfillment, maybe like he had never before in this whole lifetime. He sees with his eyes what God had promised thousands of years earlier. Now, I don't know how much you know about the human eye, but it's quite a remarkable thing. We have this thing called a lens in our eye, and what it does is it enables us to see both close up and far off. And another thing it does is this, is it takes big images out there and makes them little teeny tiny and projects them on this tissue in the back called the retina. I don't know if you know how sensitive the eye is to light. Your light is actually able to sense the presence of one photon and as many as 10 billion photons at the same time. There are a lot of people who believe that this sort of thing was actually created basically through this process we call evolution. But let me tell you something. In you, in all kinds of ways, and this is only one example of it, things have happened, things have taken place that there is no possible explanation for other than they are all God things. Because you need to understand that we can't even build a device that comes any close to the perception that your human eye has. How many times have you heard people say, "I will believe it when I see it"? How many times have you said that yourself? "I will believe it because it's so unbelievable. The only way I'm going to believe this is if I see it with my own what? My own two eyes." Right? Sometimes we don't realize how many of these idiosyncrasies that we use all the time actually have their foundation in Scripture, because I would imagine the whole idea about this comes from a guy named Doubting Thomas. Remember Doubting Thomas? After Jesus had been resurrected from the grave, he appeared to the other apostles, and Thomas happened not to be there at that point in time. And so what the other guys were telling him about this encounter they had with Christ. And what does he say? He says, basically, "I believe it when I see it. I believe that he's risen from the dead when I actually see the imprints of the nails in his hands and I can put my finger in them." Well, lo and behold, Jesus does appear. Have you seen Christ? You understand this is why we're here tonight. This is the most important question that anyone can ever ask another human being. Now, I'm not talking about, have you seen him physically? But what I'm talking about is this is what I would call spiritual sight. Have you come to know him? Have you come to see him? Not just as a baby that was born in a manger 2,000 years ago, but as the risen Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want you to understand something tonight, and that is he's no longer a baby in a manger. He is sitting on high in the throne room of God, and he is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And one of these days, he's going to return back to earth, and he will not be a baby. When he comes again, let me tell you something. There were just a few people that realized the magnitude of what was going on this night in Bethlehem so many years ago. But let me tell you, every person that is alive in the world will have no doubt in their mind that God himself has descended upon us. That day is coming. Was it absolutely necessary for Jesus to come as a baby? To put Mary through that whole rigmarole? I can imagine what it would be like to bear a child, to have, you know, it'd be kind of weird, you would think, for us guys to think about it, of this thing inside you moving around. And, you know, you have this sense and you feel this child growing in you. It's an experience that we don't have and one that probably none of us would opt to have if we could. But think about Mary. Jesus was her first child. Circumstances under which he was born were not ideal. They were not what she expected. Think about Mark and Ruth. Their first child. It's a girl. That's good too. Very different circumstances than they expected. But let me tell you, they know that God's hand is in all of it. They have no doubt about that at all. They've learned a lot. You know, becoming a parent, and those of us that are parents, we all know that it's kind of one of those things you learn as you go, right? It's not something that can really be ingrained in you. It's not something that can be taught to you. It can be kind of role modeled for you to some degree and all of that, but it's one of those things you have to experience yourself before you understand the reality of what it means to be mom and dad. Let me tell you, they wish they could be here tonight. Instead, they're sitting in the hospital. But they're celebrating. They're celebrating the birth of their first child. And they're celebrating the birth of the Christ child. Could it get any better than that? The sad thing, guys, is this, is there really should have been dancing in the streets on the night that Jesus was born. Bethlehem should have been lit up like it never was before. People should be rejoicing. People should have been celebrating like they had never celebrated anything in their entire life. But that's not really the picture that we're painting in Scripture. There were people who were part of it. They were people who celebrated. But evidently, there were a lot of people who weren't. Where are you tonight? No. Speak up. Which one is that? Is that Lorelei? Is it Ivy? Ivy? Good deal. That's Lorelei. Keep it up. The Bible teaches us over and over again about how Jesus is the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And what an enlightening thing it is to know him and to see the light. We know that the world is dark in a lot of ways. Every one of us, we've experienced it in our own lifetime. We would like to think that our life is just up on top of the mountains all the time, but it flat isn't, and that's not true for anybody. And it's true for everyone that we have our low points and times when we're down in the valley. But I just want to remind us tonight that Jesus indeed is a light of the world. He's a light of God shining into the darkness. I'm kind of funny. I don't really like light that much. When I get up in the morning, I've usually taken a shower and shaved and done all kinds of things before I turn on the first light, because I just like to be in the dark sometimes. My light eyes are kind of sensitive to bright lights early on and things like that. We just got this new light bulb in our bathroom, and I love it. Lori hates it, but I love it, because when you flick the switch on, it comes on very dimly, and over 2 or 3 minutes, it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. It's just perfect for me. I don't know who came up with the idea of that, but hallelujah for it. But Jesus, he is the light. And there's nothing like having light in your life. There really isn't. One of the interesting things is this, is he's described here as being a light of revelation to the Gentiles. Now, who's the Gentile? It's everyone that's not a Jewish or an Israelite. I would imagine that probably includes just about everybody in this room, if not everybody in this room. And you may not have realized this, but if you and I had been born in Old Testament times, there's a real good chance we wouldn't be in church tonight. There's a very good chance that we would not be considered part of the Commonwealth of Israel, because we're Gentiles. But see, this is one of the really cool things that Jesus did, is he opened up the door for the Gentiles to come into the kingdom of God. This is what we're talking about. It's God's kingdom. How do we do that? Well, we do that. There's only one way. And that is acknowledge and recognize the darkness of our own heart, to repent of it. You know, I know there's always people, and let me tell you, some of you don't know me that well, but I've spent a good part of my adulthood as an unbeliever, as an atheist, a devout atheist, a guy who was dedicated wholly to scientism. God came into my life, and he changed me. That's why I'm here. He took off the blinders that I would see Jesus. And I hope that all of you have had that same blessing. Because there is nothing more important in all of life. It's the thing that makes life worth the living. Experience love. You look around, we're not a really big church, but we've got a bunch of loving people here. There are a lot of the guys in this room that every time I see them, we hug. We haven't gotten to the kissing part yet. And this part, for my part, we're not going to go there either. But they're guys that I hug. And I mean, it's a real hug. It's not like, I'll do it if I have to kind of thing. I don't know if how many of you are not really engaged in church somewhere, but I just would encourage you to be a part of a congregation because it gives you things in this life that you're not going to have without it. So think about it if you happen to be there. There are lots of good churches around. And I'll be honest with you, there's some that probably are not so good. But there are lots of good ones. Try to find a home. It's very important. Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2 say this, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways in these last days, has spoken to us in his Son, Lord Jesus.